turn to Exodus chapter number 13, Exodus 13. And may the Lord help me this morning. I have noticed a pattern as pastor here in the past couple of, I would say, a month or so, maybe a month and a half, where it seems like as if Satan has been trying to discourage, disrupt, dishearten God's people. I myself have experienced that. And I want to remind you, or just bear a little bit of testimony this morning, that when Satan is doing such, God is about to bless. Amen. And He's about to bless you. And I hope the sermon this morning will be an encouragement to us all in honor of the Lord. In Exodus 13, we have a group of people trying to get to where God would want them to be on a journey that He has embarked them on, not quite understanding what God is doing. And we can learn some valuable lessons from this group of people, the Israelites, this morning. And I've jotted some notes down, so if you see a little bit of shift in the way I'm delivering the message today, as if I'm reading, I want to get every word because I've wrote this down this past week and filled it in throughout the week. Last Sunday, God blessed, and I think God met with us in a wonderful way. And Monday morning, I was just depleted. I was borderline grumpy and discouraged, and I could not understand why. And I began to think about how what I've been preaching on, and about our emotions and how they are so persuasive in our lives. I mean, God met. I was down here praying with my family. I looked around; the whole altar was full. I'm like, God, thank you for working. And when a pastor or preacher has a good Sunday, usually Monday's a great day, but I'm like, wow, what is going on? And that wasn't the first day. It was I've just been noticing some things, and I want to hopefully be an encouragement from God's Word this morning. In Exodus 13, verse number 18, it says, "But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the hedge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. And He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." We see here that these Israelites were leaving their, what they were called home, which would be Egypt. They were slaves there. And they were in bondage. And we've been talking a lot about emotions. And I've come to discern that we are slaves to our emotions. And we have to have a greater understanding how we are often defeated by how we feel. And if I went around the room today and asked you how you feel or how you've been feeling this past week, I would get a variety of answers. And probably those answers would come under some of the emotions we have looked at in the past several weeks here. You see, we are slaves to our emotions, whether we like to admit it or not. We are defeated oftentimes by our own feelings, the discouragement, the depression, the fear, the insecurity, the bitterness, the frustration, all these things that we deal with in life bring on these emotions. And if you step back and think, it's not the things that we're dealing with that God can't handle. What defeats us is not what we're facing, but how we're feeling about what we're facing. This is where we get defeated. You see, when the Israelites left Egypt, God led them into the wilderness. This was to build them and to teach them. He had a specific design for leading them in the way. The Bible says He led them up harnessed. In other words, they didn't have a choice about the way that they were going to go. And you may be facing some things today and you're like, if I had a choice, I wouldn't face that. I wouldn't bring that to me. But it is facing you here today. And it has brought on a variety of emotions. You see, God had His intentions of blessing His people. And He wanted them to be victorious. He did not want them to shrink back in the day of adversity. So He led them up harnessed. They didn't have a choice about what they were going to face or how He was going to lead them. The Bible just said He led them up harnessed. How many of you feel like sometimes your life is out of control and you are on a particular path that, well, if you had the choice of the matter, you wouldn't be on that particular path. And I raise your hand. Yeah, and my wife and I, we were going somewhere just this past week. She says, we can do what women say do. We were going through this town. I wasn't lost, but she was. Yeah. She says, we can do what women do when we're doing. I said, no, we're not asking directions. This is north, that's south, east and west. I said, turn around. We're going back to where, we get on a path sometimes. We prefer not to be on. Things that come to us in life. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, we see that God, in Deuteronomy 7, we looked at where the Bible says, God tells the Israelites, these are the enemies you're going to face in the promised land. And He says, these enemies are stronger than you are. And how many of you found out that your emotions are stronger than you are? They really are. They really are. You see, in the Promised Land, they were going to face the Hittites. This is fear. By definition, it means violence. So there's fear that has to be faced. The Gergesites are branded. In other words, people get identified or branded with a certain way. And it's like, well, this is the way it is. This is who I am. And they live in a type of a bondage. Or the Amorites are failure. You may have failed at something and it brings guilt or whatever the case may be. And there's Canaanites. That means shame. We all have to deal with something in life that is shameful. And that's a feeling. And you see the Perizzites, that was by definition an unwalled city. In other words, they didn't have any security around them. So that is an emotion of insecurity. And the Hivites, that word means encampment. In other words, it implies that they were alone. They just were encampment. Nobody wanted anything to do with them. They were just kind of alone. And we looked at these emotions and specificity in times past. And then the Jebusites. God says you're going to face the Jebusites when you go into the promised land. And it means defeated. And in other words, we get to the point sometimes where we feel like, oh, it's just hopeless. And we get discouraged, and a lot of times we're hopeless. We start having great bouts of depression. You see, this is the enemies that we will face in the promised land. These enemies are stronger than we are. You see, God wanted to face the emotional enemy, which are lies, and then learn how He would defeat them. You see, enemies that would keep you from following God. If you read it there in verse 3 in Deuteronomy chapter. Let's turn there real quick if you would, please. I've got a lot to cover. And may God hasten the time. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 7 verse 2. He mentions the enemies I just went over right here in verse number 7. And he winds up chapter 7 verse 1 by saying that these seven nations are greater than thou. In other words, they're more powerful. And all of these nations, as we just noted, has a derivative of emotion that we feel. In verse 2, and he says, "When the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them." And the problem we have oftentimes is we show too much of a covenant with our emotions. Jesus wasn't led that way. He was led by the Spirit. He did not let how he felt dictate what he did. And we get discouraged and and down and out or whatever, and something, we just don't want to read our Bible the next day. And the week before, man, we were on fire. We don't feel like going to church. And you see how our emotions just sway us, ebb and flow. In verse 3, he says, "Neither shalt thou make marriages with them, thy daughters thou shalt not give unto them, his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take for thy son." Get this, verse 4. "For they will turn away thy son from following thee." You see, what he's saying here, he's talking about how our emotions will sway us. And we have to understand that God does not want us to be an emotional-led people. You see, God wanted them to face their emotions, but he didn't want their emotions to be dictating what he wanted to do in their life. You see, in order to defeat these enemies, we must understand the victory comes through Jesus Christ. You see, we must have confidence in God's love. And I'm not going to turn there, but 1 John 4:16 says this, "But we have known and believed in the love that God has for us." You see, we may have experienced salvation, but our emotions will not be dominant in our life if we fully believe in the love that God has for us. Fear cannot abide in the same heart where God's love is flowing. When the love comes in, fear must go. You see, God is love. He is sovereign. And His love seeks our best. And His sovereignty enables Him to secure our best. And when we're dealing with our emotions, we have to understand who our God is. You see, our God is merciful. Our God is a merciful. His mercy and His goodness, He gives His mercy to confront man's misery and man's guilt and man's emotions and man's shame. You may feel that way because you're looking at the facts. These are the facts, Pastor. Why shouldn't I feel that way? But listen, God's mercy trumps our feelings. He is superlative. His mercy is superlative to our feelings. And listen, sometimes my children, I'm trying to teach them. I said, "Look, if you want something out of me, you got to know when to approach me. You know, if you want a yes, you go to talk to people when they're in a great mood. Amen, right? But you know the thing about God? We don't have to wait till God gets in a good mood. He's joyful all the time. We don't have to wait for Him to be merciful. He is merciful all the time. He doesn't choose when to be merciful. Only time He does not show mercy is when, and He shows justice as a judge, is when we have forsaken His mercy and we have taken His mercy for granted. I'm here to tell you this morning and to testify, I thank God for His mercy. Amen. You see, God's mercy is boundless, is free, and it's free in Christ, and we must believe in this mercy because if not, we will believe the emotion that God is distant and we get discouraged and say, "What's the use? What's the use to keep going on?" Job said that, you know. You see why? Because he was looking at everything that he was facing and not trusting in the boundless mercy and the love of God that he has for his people. You see, failure to embrace God's love, a failure to embrace His mercy will empower our false emotions, our negative emotions, which will lead us into the land of unbelief. And you say, "Well, what's the antidote to unbelief?" It is belief. Faith. You see, faith makes the difference. The Bible says this is what we have as a God-given gift of the fruit of the Spirit, which is one of those, is faith. It is faith that overcometh the world. And there's a lot of things we face in this world, beloved, that'll get you down, discouraged, depressed, and out of the will of God. There's a lot of things, fearful things, real things. But the fact is, the Bible says it is faith that makes the difference. It is faith that keeps us in God's will. It is faith in God's love and His mercy that gives us victory over the world. You see, the Bible tells us about these Israelites. We're not going to turn there for time's sake. But the Bible says they did not mix what God had told them. He said, I'm giving you this promised land. Yes, there are giants over there, but I can beat them if you just trust me. And He said, I'll beat these things. How you feeling about these matters? You see, we look at these things, oh, we're so small, we'd be as grasshoppers. But God, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You see, we look at these things and we shrink. We shrink. And the Bible says they didn't get what God had promised for because they didn't mix it with faith. Where are you at this morning? Have your emotions beat you down to the point where you're not believing in God anymore? You see, notice in verse 20, God took them to the edge. He took them. Hold on, I'm going to get back there myself. Verse 20. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. Etham means desert. You know what? There's nothing out there in that desert. Barren land. And you may think, well, God, I'm in a barren place in my life. My emotions feel barren. They feel dry. They just all out of sorts. You see, God took them to the edge and made them camp there. And why does God take us places and make us camp there when we wouldn't camp there? But He said, camp there. How many are camping somewhere you don't want to be? Right now. Right now. You see, God took them there. You see, God, get this. God is giving them experience with Him. A time of experience with Him. And we miss this. We just say, God, pack up my tent, let me get on through this. You see, but what God was doing, He was giving them experience with Him. They had to learn a new way. And you and I have been married to our emotions so long, God is trying to teach us, look, there's a new way. It's called being led of the Spirit. Pastor, I've been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But why is it we get so volatile with our emotions? We're so married to them. We make a covenant with them. God said, do not make a covenant with these enemies because they are stronger than you and than me. And we have made a covenant with these things. Now notice, it was a time that God was giving them to get to know God. And listen, when you get to know God, you'll get to know yourself. And when you get to know yourself, you like yourself less and love God more. You see, and the people likely thought that they were ready to go into the promised land, but God knew different. You see, that's why they had to camp there. And you're wondering, God, why am I having to camp right here? And I've been here. Matter of fact, I've got my tent, and I got an address on this thing. You see? And the discouragement and all these things begin to build up. You see, God knew they needed time with Him. They needed more experience with God. To build confidence in God, they needed time. Amen. They needed time where they were at. And you and I, a lot of times, we get discouraged. Why am I at? Why am I kept out here so long? I need to move forward. And God says, look, you need time with me. You need time with me. Because the Bible says that they went up harnessed. Because if they really met war, entered into what that God had called them to, they would turn back in the day of adversity. And God did not want His people to fail. And so He gave them a time, you see, to build confidence in God. For us to have confidence in God, God will make a space of time for us to camp out with Him. And that's important for you and I to know. You see, a daily God means a daily encampment. I need God every day. Jesus said it this way, Father, give us our daily bread. You see, We don't need a church experience. We need experience with God. And by that I mean just entering to His truth. Not an emotional experience, but a just time with God. You see, God gave a cloud to them for the day and a pillar of fire by night. You see, this was a confidence builder in God's love. You see, get this, consistency produces confidence. God never took that pillar of fire away. He never took that pillar of cloud away. He was consistent every day, but they missed it. They looked to their feelings. They murmured. They complained. They were discouraged. They were in unbelief. They didn't get it, what God was trying to do. And listen, you're not going to be in church much longer if you don't get what God is trying to do right now. Right now. As a pastor, I hear this and I see what you're going through and I feel what I'm going through. And I look around and I think, man, Satan's just, he's just nipping and gnawing. And when he's nipping and gnawing, you really get in touch with your feelings. But we need to be in touch with God. Faith makes the difference. Faith in Jesus makes the difference. Faith that our God can make it all right makes the difference. All they saw was the heat waves coming up off the sand. They felt the dryness and the heat of the sun. They had no beautiful scenery necessarily to look at. All they had was facts. Let me tell you something. Truth trumps facts. This is truth. You see, God was trying to build a confidence in Himself by letting them camp out where He was at. You see, a constant, unfailing God that shows up every day builds confidence in Him. And that's what He was doing. There's that pillar of cloud. There's that pillar of fire. God was saying, I am with you. I am with you. I've got your back on this thing. Matter of fact, I don't just have your back. If you keep looking at me, I got your front too. I'm an all-encompassing God. You see, we get to looking around and we don't understand. You see, God builds confidence over our emotions to show Himself strong. He builds confidence so that it can be used. God wants to use our confidence in Him. That's called faith. It's called faith. And they were going to need it going into the promised land. You see, in God's wisdom, He led the Israelites up against a sea with two walls, canyon walls on the side and a pursuing army behind them. And God had to prove Himself in the midst of this circumstance. You see, when life seems most confusing, the Bible says here that Pharaoh would look upon him and say that, oh, they've been confused. They're entangled in the land. Let me tell you something. How many of you ever been like, life is confusing? It's like to the zenith of confusion. Let me tell you something. That is exactly how the Israelites felt. Let's look at chapter 14 and verse number 3. And for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land the wilderness hath. Shut them in. Oh, you poor little dumb Israelites. This is what Pharaoh's thinking. You know what? We think like Pharaoh a lot of times. How in the world did I get entangled? How did this come to me? How did I start camping here? How did I wind up at a Red Sea? How am I in this situation? You see, when we are at our most confusing point in life, listen to me please. When we are at the height of our most confusing moment in our life, God is at the height of showing glory in our life. But when we're at the height of our confusion, now, I'll be honest, how many really feel great about being confused? Why do they do that? Why did he do that? Why did she do this? Why did this come? You see, confusion. Confusion gets me frustrated. Am I alone? Confusion gets me frustrated. It gets me discouraged. It gets me depressed. Sometimes it gets me angry and I want to go be alone. All these emotions. Amen. All these emotions come, and you see, when I'm at the height of confusion, when it looks like I can't go forward, I definitely can't go back, and there's a canyon wall on either side of me, let me tell you something. God can and still parts Red Seas. We cannot trust how we feel. We cannot trust how we feel. You see, Pharaoh thought they were entangled. He thought they were doomed. Ponder this. Ponder this. When I say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what do you think about? Fire in the furnace. Let me ask you this. If there hadn't been a fire in the furnace, would you know the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? If there hadn't been a Goliath, would you know David? If there hadn't been a Red Sea, whose name comes to your mind? Moses. You see, you may be facing this Goliath. You may be facing this Red Sea. You may be feel like you're in the furnace of affliction with the fire all around, just burning everything that you care about up. And by the way, the only thing that burnt on those three Hebrew children was what needed burned up anyway. They came out just fine. You see, there will not be a Daniel. When I say lions, Dan, what do you think about? You see, the things that you're facing right now is the very thing God wants to use to make His name great through what you're facing. If there had never been a Red Sea, we wouldn't know Moses. If there hadn't been a Goliath, we wouldn't know David. You see, by the way, I hope everybody on your job knows who Miss Joan is. Amen. Do you get the point what I'm saying? I'm sure she wouldn't want to be facing what she has faced, but hope God is getting glorified through that. You see what I'm saying? Do you see, when you face the Red Sea, that is an opportunity for God to glorify Himself in your life. And you see, if they hadn't had that camping time and some experience with God, they wouldn't have been able to glorify God or trust God as much as they did at that point in time. Now, they were fearful, but God again was giving them time. He was building that confidence with them. You see, problems are designed to give God glory and build confidence in Him. We judge our problems by the way we feel, the feeling of it, and determine God can't do anything. You know that's the way an addict thinks? That's exactly the way a drug addict thinks. I can't get victory over this drug because I feel so weak. I feel so helpless. I feel so bewildered. I feel so entangled in this bondage. Let me tell you something. That is just like your emotions and my emotion keeping us from God's highest and best in our life. God can't do nothing here. You know, we just might as well concede defeat. God can't heal me. God can't touch this person's heart. Let me tell you something. That is unbelief. That is unbelief. You see, to the selfish carnal person, when you're facing trials, to the carnal person, all they want is themselves out of the trial. But listen, for the Christian, that trial is your song of victory. Are you hearing me? That trial is your song of victory if you have the eye of faith looking toward God's throne. You see, God wanted, and this is very important here. This is very, very important. I want us to look at a verse here and realize what God was trying to do. Verse 3, Exodus 14. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land of the wilderness, has shut them in. And God, look what God says. God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh. You get that? Get that. I will be honored upon the thing you're facing. So let's think on this a minute. If God didn't come through to remove Pharaoh, God wasn't going to get glory. So So God put Himself in a position. The Israelites thought they were in a bad position. But God put him in a position that He had to do something for those people or He wasn't going to get any glory. So when you're thinking about a hopeless situation, let's think about this. If we're looking unto Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, God has positioned you and Himself that He has to come through for you in order for Him to get glory. That's what He did right here. As my Greek teacher used to say, Bubba, that ought to make your bubble gum vibrate. Amen. You see, we think when we get in these positions, we all alone and God went to sleep at the wheel. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're facing. He knows exactly what you're feeling. And He's telling you and He's telling me, don't look at how you feel. Just look to me by faith. I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You see, God coming through for you is important. So He can get glory. And that's what He was saying right here. He said, I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host that the Egyptians may get this. What's this word? Know that I am the Lord. And they did so. You see, and as we look at these things and ponder these things that we're facing in life, faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Verse 12. You ever had one of those moments where you said, I knew this was going to happen? Anybody ever had one of those? I knew this was going to happen. This is verse 12. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Now, what is he saying right here? What are the people saying? I told you this was going to happen. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now, what kind of crazy talk is this? Let me tell you what kind of crazy talk this is. The same kind of thoughts that go through your mind and my mind. I don't think I'm going back to church. I'm not saying I think that, okay? You may think that. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to trust God with this. I quit. You ever have thoughts like that? That's what they were saying. They were saying, God said, come out. They were saying, we should have stayed. God said, come out and go to the promised land. They're saying, we should have stayed. Matter of fact, I want to go back. What were they basing their decisions on? They were basing their decisions on their feelings. Absolutely. In verse number 14, God says this. Well, let's back up to verse 13. This is where we need to start. And Moses said unto the people, what's these three words right here? What is fear? It's an emotion. By the way, it's not just an emotion, it's a self-centered emotion. All emotions are self-centered. Now, we've talked about there are some good emotions. We're not going into that here, but we're talking about negative emotions. They were looking for their best interest. I got to get to a place where I feel comfortable. I got to get to a place where I feel undiscouraged or encouraged. I got to get back to what I know is comfortable for me. I got to go back to Egypt. Moses, God's telling these people, fear ye not. What's this next two words? Stand still. Stand still means what? Exactly. You see, your feelings right now today is telling you to make a decision. God says, stand still. Well, if I stand still, what's going to happen? Notice, and see. Get this? And what? See the salvation of the Lord. Which He will, did it say He might? He will what? Show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. You see, God has already conquered your enemy. You just might not see the victory flag just yet. So, Pastor, that don't make any sense. It makes perfect sense. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. What are you hoping for? What's God's breakthrough in your life you're hoping for that you believe He wants to give you? So, Pastor, I just can't go another step. I'm discouraged. I feel defeated. I feel guilty. I feel shameful. I feel defeated. I feel failure. I feel depressed, discouraged, frustrated, angry. I get all this going on in my head, and I'm to the height of my confusion, and I just don't know what to do. Listen, you heard God's voice about all that you're dealing with right now today. And He wants you to stand still. Don't back up. See the salvation of the Lord. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses. Now after you stood still and God begins to work. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they, what? He said, well, I'm not moving. He said, stand still. Listen, when you stand where God tells you to stand, you are moving forward. Patience is an act of faith. Amen. You see, when Saul became fearful because Samuel hadn't showed up to do the ceremonial sacrifices before the army of Israel went to battle, remember? And what did he do? He became fearful because the Philistines were camping against him. They were, in other words, getting in a very strategic, tactical position to annihilate the army of Israel. So Saul became fearful, and he stepped into the office of priest and began to do the sacrifice. And right there, at that moment, listen please, at that moment, he lost his kingdom in God's mind. Because he wouldn't wait and trust God. You see, when you and I begin to take the steering wheel of our life and say, no, I'm going to drive it this way. I can't do what I'm hearing today, Pastor. I can't do this. When we begin to do that, friends, listen, our promised land, the thing we're trusting God for has become invalid. When God says stand still, He means stand still. And I believe God's word for you and I here today is don't let our emotions dictate where we go and what we do, but let us be Spirit-led people and stand still and see the deliverance of our God. Amen. And the things that you're facing, that we're facing as a church. God built His church on love. I'm going to tell you something about pain. When a person is in pain, you don't care much about the person next to you. So I don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you what. When you get home, go get your hammer, and you rear back and hit your hand just as hard as you can, and then let your wife or husband or somebody come up and say, can I borrow the car keys, or can you help me with this? You're going to say, not right now. Can't you see I'm in agony right here? The thing about pain, we get very selfish. Amen. None of us are exempt. Sometimes we want to just curl up and stick our thumb in our mouth and do that kind of a number, you know. I don't care what my brethren think. They'll go on just fine without me. I don't care what so-and-so thinks. I need to take care of me right now. No, no, no. This is not the day nor the hour to look to ourselves, but look to Christ. He went all the way. He went all the way. And let us do the same. Stand still and see. There will be a day you will see what God can do if we stand still. You see our emotions? We go here, we go there. We're like a rat or a dog or whatever, cat chasing the tail. Let us be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I don't know what you're facing emotionally today, but if you're like me, you get hit with a variety of things. And it doesn't seem like it's a hammer sometimes, it's more so like a sledgehammer. Boom. Right? Well, listen. Jesus didn't quit on you. Let us not quit on Him. You won't see that victory unless we keep pressing on with this thing. Let us pray. Father, thank You for making us camp out sometimes and building the confidence in You that we need to have for our life's journey and purpose. Father, at times we would rather trust our emotions and not camp out, but just press on. Lord, we know from Your Word that the promised land was only an 11-day journey, but You led them about a different way. And it's frustrating sometimes when we can see victory just right there in front of us, but it's yet still out of grasp. Father, I pray for those that may be facing that. There's some here today facing discouragement, insecurity, guilt, shame, frustration, anger, fear of uncertainty of the future. Lord, help us to come back and realize You're a merciful God. And that mercy is for our own benefit. And Your mercy is for those of us who even caused our own problems. That's how deep Your mercy is, and we praise You for it. Father, if there's one here today that does not know Christ, may today be the day that they receive the love, grace, and forgiveness, and mercy of heaven through Jesus Christ. Father, whatever You spoke to us as individuals about today, as a family, as a church, God, help us to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and move forward as You direct. And we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.